Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, February 10th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Motorists and human rights lawyers welcome High Court Judge Justice Francis Bere's pronouncements yesterday that it is unconstitutional for the police to demand spot fines and impound vehicles at roadblocks.
The police have been actually acting outside the remit of law. You cannot force somebody to pay an amount which he can pay within 7 days at the police station.
A former ZANU-PF Senator Agai Georgias scoffs at revelations that he had an account with the under-fire British bank, the HSBC, as economists call for action from President Robert Mugabe on colleagues and business people who prejudice the country of hundreds of millions in tax revenue.
And the ZANU-PF Youth National Executive Committee prepares for President Robert Mugabe's 91st birthday party. The youth are also pushing for the day to be declared a national holiday.
We are going to have a clean-up campaign on the 21st of February in Victoria Falls, whereby we are going to engage all the youth associations and all the youth from ZANU-PF. We are not looking where you are coming from, but as long as you are a youth in Zimbabwe.
Human rights lawyers and members of the public have welcomed High Court Judge Justice Francis Bere's pronouncement yesterday that it is unconstitutional for the police to demand spot fines and impound vehicles at roadblocks for traffic offences. Speaking at the official opening of the Maswingo High Court circuit yesterday, Justice Bere said collecting spot fines is illegal and has distracted the police from their core business of policing. Anti-corruption lobby groups such as Afrobarometer and Transparency International have for years implicated the police at roadblocks for being involved in corrupt deals commonly referred to as shakedowns. Transport operators and motorists who spoke to Studio 7 are welcoming the remarks by the judge. Attorney Zimbabwe Chimka of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Justice Bere is spot on.
Drivers and people with vehicles to pay spot fines is patently illegal, and the police have been actually acting outside the remit of law. You cannot force somebody to pay an amount which he can pay within seven days at a police station, or even challenge the legality of whatever charges facing at court. So by virtue of saying somebody pay a spot fine, you are taking away that person's rights to challenge whatever allegation is facing. So the judge's pronouncement is something that we've been expecting, and we commend that.
But has anyone taken the police to court complaining about the spot fines?
Well, we actually represented somebody, Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, who had been threatened by police officers who wanted to seize his vehicle because he didn't have money. And we actually managed to stop that through a court order. But you see, the problem is when you get an order, it applies individually. In a cell, it is supposed to give indications to any cases like that. But what the police then do is they commit the same offense in quotations elsewhere and always want the court to interpret the law for them.
That was Zimbabwe Chimbwa of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights speaking to Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The issue of spot fines has also preoccupied Parliament, with ZANU-PF lawmaker Irene Zindi calling on the police to declare the amounts of money they collected from motorists as spot fines on a weekly basis. Responding, Deputy Home Affairs Minister Ziyambi Ziyambi said the police would comply if so requested, adding that, quote, as of now, the requirement we have been following is that we are required to declare it to Treasury and to have our accounts audited. Former Finance Minister Tendai Biti often clashed with Home Affairs Minister Kembo Mohadi over the non-remittance of police fines to the Treasury.
A former senator and economic development deputy minister, Agai Georgias, has scoffed at reports that he had an account with the under fire HSBC Bank. Information released from the bank indicates that Georgias' account was eventually closed, and at the time the bank data was obtained, it had a zero balance. Georgias, who owns Trinity Engineering and Georgia Dis Tracking, was added to the European sanctions list in April 2007 after he was appointed deputy minister. He was removed from the sanctions list in February 2011. He's among a list of 198 people with Zimbabwean roots who had accounts with the bank that is being accused of promoting money laundering. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu first asked Georgias if it's true that he had an account with HSBC.
It's not true.
It's not true?
It's not true.
Did you at any one time open an account at the bank?
No, not at any one time.
But these are details that they have, for example,
well,
that...
I don't know where you got those details from, but 100% I have never opened an account with HSBC Bank.
But do you know of any Agai Clement Georgias in Zimbabwe?
I don't know of any Agai Clement Georgias apart from myself. I don't know where you get the information from.
The bank released the information with all those details.
You better find out from the bank where they got that information from. That information is definitely wrong if it's linking me to that account.
How about the phone numbers that they list that actually belong to you?
What phone number?
For example, there's a 621-531, which is a Harare number.
Yeah, that's a Harare number, but those numbers are public numbers.
So you were never at any one time an account holder, an account that was later closed?
No.
Are there any attempts on your part to reach the bank and ask about why, for example, someone should open an account with your details?
No, that is your problem, because I'm not going to take this lying down.
That was former Senator and Economic Development Deputy Minister Agai Georgias speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Meanwhile, economist Christopher Mgaga with South African research house Economita Global Capital says President Robert Mugabe should move with speed and act on the revelations that some senior government and ZANU-PF politicians, including white farmers, were working with the British HSBC Bank to hide assets and avoid paying tax as they siphoned the money out of the country into offshore accounts.
I would definitely call it a very unfortunate incident, and it's a black moment for a nation which is struggling to make ends meet like Zimbabwe. That's the reason why Africa, and in this case Zimbabwe, is failing to develop. And having people like ministers, influential business people, some of them, who time and again would gain audience with the president of the country, being found on the wrong side of the law, I think this could certainly show the kind of bar of people who are working around side Mr. Mugabe. The very people who have the kind of influence and access to go to State House to meet him. Or the very people who are pushing Zimbabwe to tend to become a pariah or a banana republic, kind of. I think you know for sure that the vice president of Zimbabwe, who had been at the helm for 10 years since 2004, had lost their position in government. The allegations bring the case of corruption. So Mugabe is really sincere with corruption if it wasn't a case of just witch hunting. That is a case of trying to stamp out corruption. And this could be testimony of why even all the policies the government is trying to push around, like Zuma said, who never see the light of the day, simply because there is a government with people who are corrupt.
Mr. Mgaga, countries like France are now trying to seek more information from HSBC and also to make sure that that money is returned to their countries. Can Mr. Mugabe and his government do something to ensure that the money that was lost is brought back?
Obviously, this is a case of laundering. It's a case of tax evasion. Evading or paying taxes is a serious crime even in Zimbabwe jurisdiction, which I believe that Zimbabwe has to take serious action in bringing to book all the individuals. So I think it's an opportune moment for Mr. Mugabe's government to show to the world that there is security in arresting corruption.
Economist Christopher Mgaga of Economita Global Capital speaking with us earlier from Harare.
The Shalom Project, a church organization operating in Matabeleland South, says it will appeal to Vice President Pelegezela Mpogo to intervene in a farm dispute that saw dozens of villagers who had gathered for a prayer meeting yesterday being brutally assaulted by riot police. Mr. Mpogo comes from Matabeleland South, and the farm that is owned by the Cunningham family is near Kezi, about 192 kilometers south of Bulawayo. The farm has for years helped sustain families in the area through various agricultural programs. However, yesterday, a group of armed riot police reportedly descended on the villagers and assaulted them, accusing them of congregating at the farm without police clearance. This despite the Public Order and Security Act saying religious gatherings do not need any police clearance. Police in Matabeleland South could not be reached for comment. We reached Pastor Angliston Sibanda, a member of the Shalom Project, for more details.
Yes, what happened yesterday is that people had gathered at Shalom Farm to hold a prayer meeting, and the other section of the farm has been used for religious work. So for churches would go there and hold prayer meetings and hold camp meetings.
Were there any serious injuries?
Not as yet. I had to travel to the village to have a talk at really what happened and how many people were injured, but we haven't received any report of a serious injury.
Now, what is the way forward? What are you going to do next?
We're still continuing to lobby. We're still continuing with our advocates' activities. And secondly, we're going to pursue the legal route, because we are seeing a clear violation of the Constitution of Zimbabwe in terms of the section, Chapter 16, that talks about land. I think subsection 281, we have seen a clear violation of those sections, and it's also the section on traditional leaders, where the role responsibility of traditional leaders is being stifled or blocked by people that work for the president's office.
And that was Pastor Angliston Sibanda, a member of the Shalom Project Church Group. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Bulawayo.
The MDC renewal team says it has launched its face-to-face campaign where its leaders will be going out to meet and speak with ordinary people on the streets about problems they are facing under the ZANU-PF government. Party spokesman Jacob Mafume says leaders Tendai Biti and Elton Mangoma, together with party members of parliament, yesterday started the ball rolling by meeting people on the streets of Harare. Mafume tells Studio 7 his party is ready to take a radical confrontation approach in trying to deal with problems plaguing the country.
The leadership, which includes Tendai Biti, Elton Mangoma, members of parliament, was in the streets of Harare at the launch of a face-to-face program, which will be taking place in all the cities. We need to go to where the people are facing the problem. We need to interact with the people to advise them and to give them the solutions that we are proposing. We need to be able to share with the people what they are going through on the day-to-day basis. And we believe that this program is very critical at this juncture, so that we connect with the people who are suffering a lot under the current regime led by Robert Gabriel Mugabe.
How was this received by the people?
We were encouraged by the deep contemplation of the people. We were encouraged by the awareness of the people of where the problems are coming from. The people were engaged with us.
That was MDC Renewal Team spokesman Jacob Mafume speaking with us from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Now, a look at regional and international news.
Niger's parliament unanimously authorized sending troops to battle Boko Haram militants as part of a regional force, lawmakers said after a vote late yesterday.
Witnesses in central Somalia say at least 12 people were killed and 30 others wounded today when a moderate Islamist group clashed with Somali government troops.
The number of deaths from Ebola has risen to 9,152, a sharp increase following weeks in which the outbreak appeared to be weakening.
Some local artists will soon join hands with government officials and members of the public in a Valentine's Day cleanup campaign at Mereki in Warren Park this Saturday. One of the artists, Bashupi, says the campaign running under the theme Marara Mubini has generated a lot of interest from the public and is likely to gain more ground once people realize how much effort the artists are keen to help clean up the country. Bashupi speaks to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye on the issue.
It was after we saw the MP Chinotimba, Yumin Mbare, so we decided also to join him to work with the likes of Ninja Chinotimba and the Minister Kasukwe, who works with the City Council as well, and Mr. Gwese of CEO Andy Freight to clean up the city because the city was too dirty.
So when is your next clean-up campaign?
There's a clean called Mereki. The reason being it's a place where people drive every weekend. People are there for Mereki and having a good time. That's where people go. But now if you check the place, you see people be cooking on top of marara or the pile of marara in China. So that's not healthy, actually. So we decided to go and clean up the place so that people know that we are totally serious.
So who are you grouping together for this Valentine's Day cleanup?
We're going with any other artist who'd love to join us, but I've been working with the likes of Suleiman Chimbetu, the likes of Leonard Jakata, the likes of Derek, the likes of Kaz, you know, BK Kaz. We're also joining forces with them. And any other person who'd like to join us.
That was musician, artist Bashupi speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye on the line from Harare.
The ZANU-PF Youth National Executive Committee met this afternoon in Victoria Falls to finalize preparations for President Robert Mugabe's 91st birthday party, which will be held in the resort town next week at a time the youths are pushing for the day to be declared a national holiday in honor of the president. The party's youth chairman for Matabeleland North Province, Tamuka Nyoni, says the party has received food donations from churches and companies, including three buffaloes, and the Parks and Wildlife Authority has pledged to donate an elephant to be consumed on the occasion. He dismissed the criticisms that the event is a waste of resources for the cash-strapped country, saying most expenses were footed by companies and other well-wishers. Nyoni tells reporter Standikile Mhlanga his party expects more than 20,000 people to attend the event, which will also honor the elevation of President Robert Mugabe to the African Union chairman post.
The national executive team came here led by the Center for Youth Affairs Comrade Pupulaito Gareti to hear from the province how far. We told them that we have met all the stakeholders and informed them about the event. The church associations have donated foodstuff that is going to be fed by the delegates that are coming. Then the national park have also donated 2-3 carcasses of buffaloes, and some have pledged the LFA 1 elephant to be consumed by those who are going to come to the occasion. And then in terms of transport, we are doing the final touches.
What other events are lined up before the actual day, and how is the mood in Victoria Falls?
We are going to have a clean-up campaign on the 21st of February in Victoria Falls, whereby we are going to engage all the youth associations and all the youth from ZANU-PF. We are not looking where you are coming from, but as long as you are a youth in Zimbabwe, then on the 27th of February, we are going to have a reception to welcome the 21st of those who are the VVIP, those who are going to celebrate the birthday with His Excellence at Farms Victoria Falls Primary School.
That was Chamuka Nyoni, ZANU-PF Youth Chairman for the Matabeleland North Province, on the line from Victoria Falls.
Coming up next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The terror attack in Paris targeting the staff of the satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo and the beheadings of journalists by ISIL are horrific examples of the extreme dangers faced by journalists today. In an address at a U.S. State Department-sponsored conference aimed at improving security for reporters, Secretary of State John Kerry acknowledged, "There's no way to eliminate the risk completely except by keeping silent, and that's what we call surrender." Mr. Kerry noted that in the past, the primary threat to journalists consisted of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. It was rare that a journalist was intentionally targeted. Now, however, journalists are attacked for what they have written, silenced for what they have witnessed, or kidnapped for the leverage their capture may provide. The United States is determined to make freedom of the press an important tenet of its foreign policy goals. Each day, Secretary Kerry said, America's diplomats make clear, either directly to governments or to the public, our firm backing for the right of people to speak, publish, broadcast, blog, tweet, or otherwise express themselves openly and without fear and without retribution. When journalists are unfairly detained, U.S. diplomats raise the issue in meetings with foreign officials at every level, Secretary Kerry said. And that is true whether the journalist is an American or from some other country where the rights of journalists are violated all too often. Moreover, to help bolster the security for local media in difficult situations, the State Department launched a pilot program 2 years ago called SAFE, focusing on digital and physical security, psychosocial care, and the establishment of regional security advisory networks, a program that has now reached some 300 reporters. In addition, with the U.S. Agency for International Development, the State Department has programs that support independent media in more than 40 countries. Despite the threats faced by today's journalists, Secretary Kerry expressed confidence in the future of press freedom and the commitment of journalists to discover and report the truth, even in the face of implacable resistance and grave danger. The United States, he said, will stand with you every step of the way in all the ways that we have at our disposal.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In our sports segment, the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League race is around the corner and coaches are walking a tight rope. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us why.
All the top three teams in the country, Dynamos, Islanders and Caps United, have changed coaches, and the coaches are walking a tightrope as they seek to please their teams and to please fans. Last season, a number of coaches among the most chunga of Chiredzi, Ilan Mwe of Aumain, Arthur Tutani of Black Rhinos, Gishon Ntini of Triangle and Kelvin Kaido of Islanders failed to last the distance after they were sacked during the course of the season. Gone is Kalisto Pasua at Dynamos, and in his place is David Mandigora. Mandigora knows he will be under immense pressure as his predecessor won 4 consecutive league titles.
Pressure has always been there at Dynamos.
Islanders, too, have brought in Ngongani Mafu in place of Mark Mate. The team did not perform to expectation last season after finishing without a silverware. Mapu has been rebuilding the fledgling Blauwe Giants, and so far he thinks so good.
Want to enter into every single game trying to win it.
Yes, United parted ways with Tawai Manguiro, who has crossed the floor to Harare City. Manguiro, who left after a series of four outs with his club supporters, has been replaced by Englishman Mark Harrison. Harrison claims he's not going for the league title this season, but to build for the future, something that the club supporters have refused to accept.
We'll push one step at a time.
Change in coaches also means change in playing personnel, and all the three clubs have been on the transfer market to build up their squad. Changes in coaches also mean change in playing personnel, and all the three clubs have been on the transfer market to build up their squads for the season. The only top club that has not changed coaches is FC Platinum, but the Miners will also be under pressure as they will be campaigning on two fronts. The Midland side is representing Zimbabwe in the CAF Confederation Cup, while at the same time hope to make an impression on the domestic front. The Premier Soccer League have announced that the domestic season will kick off on March 1. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariatsi.
And remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when we are bringing you a brand new show. It's all about the youth. It's called Youth Connected. And as you know, we have our hosts, Tatenda Gumbo and Ntunga Milinkomo, who will be on the hot seat. Mm-hmm.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
Kana tune one guy, varkundi venga when they see a nigga drive by. Shavarku imba visku blow, I mean I don't know why. Reka indi seke shaka womange savana dry. Manya uza baba vesela na kana nana mai. Vema pepa nema TV mese shamba zai. Ambondi zora chango sara chingo rumbi zai. Entertain and ambo yo zongo kufa zai. Boys go on a punzan fest wangu zika mai. Daddy cash ya kunu wange nyama ya wai. Zandela uza wana pterera chimbona matai. Mwari ya nopa chenyu chete chingo kumbirai. Hanza shkwa nisika sima heta katerera nai. You can't beat me imba neni wangu just try. Andisku nyepa nruku tipa itana ro. Online, my words on with bazooka. Victory, not wish you die.
Kodo, kodo, torai sanji. Mwati manini, mira indi kutipire manje. Kanari, kodo, kodo, torai sanji. Mwati manini, mira indi kutipire manje.
Jo, jo, life no pain. Chichonga de kurarama nda nda taurisa kona kukakama nemavia kuna mwari mbokwadama hupumi wanotswaga homwe dzako uchatutuma maoko mdenga this beat is just sicker rapili visa vanhu position namba ya pika mfaro wakadai wankanganwisa zvepanyika ndane time ndiri panasi ndirutange ndangosvika terai soka dzangu but havasikona kwandatsika give me stronger competition afana they just weaker they don't know why the rap afana vakarasika vacha ziya madharao afana ncharatsika. Pay close attention like you can.
That was Godo, the music of Bashupi and Stana, going out to you from Studio 7 here at the Voice of America.
Yes, they are setting up the Valentine's Day cleanup that's coming up at Kwamereki in Harare sometime on February 14th. That's next week. Now to recap today's top stories.
Motorists and human rights lawyers welcome High Court Judge Justice Francis Bere's pronouncements yesterday that it is unconstitutional for the police to demand spot fines.
A former ZANU-PF Senator Agai Georgias scoffs at revelations that he had an account with the under-fire British bank, the HSBC.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.